All right, let's go to Psalm 80 tonight, please. The 80th Psalm in the Word of God. If you'd find your place there, it'll introduce the thought of the subject tonight for the message, Psalm 80, as we study the Scriptures together. I'm going to pray for Brother Rex. I also have a prayer request. My wife has developed a tooth problem, and so she needs to be at the dentist first thing Friday morning. So that means that we'll be driving tomorrow night after we get done with the service. And we had a blowout on that motorhome and the tire a couple of weeks ago in St. Louis. And I was led to believe when I got that last fall that the tires were newer than what they are. And so I'm a little bit nervous about, you know, you have a blowout on the back. Of course, you got those dualies and you can limp along a little bit. But when one of the front ones go out, you're dead in the water. And so we'll be driving for a couple of hours, several hours tomorrow night after church. And I'd appreciate if you'd pray for us, because I'd feel real bad if one of them tires blew out and I had to sit in the air conditioning and watch Andrew change that tire. That'd bother me bad. And so I don't want that to happen. And so anyway, if you'd pray for us, we'd greatly appreciate it. That, hey, the Lord allowed the children of Israel's shoes not to wear out for 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness. And surely, if we'll pray, then the Lord is surely able to see to it that we can make it home. Friday afternoon, I need to be south of Chicago at 3 o'clock. I have to preach a youth conference there, drive home. I won't be taking the motor home, but drive home Friday night. My wife will go to the ladies' meeting in Raymond on Saturday. And then we're going back to that same church all day Sunday, south of Chicago. So we'll be leaving out first thing Sunday morning and then driving home Sunday night after the Sunday night service. And then Monday evening, we're supposed to be in southwest Missouri. And so we sure would appreciate your prayers that Andrew don't get too tired driving while I sleep in the back seat. All right. So Psalm 80. If you believe the Bible, say amen. Well, it's a good thing, because if you don't, I don't have anything else to tell you. I don't have any tear-jerking stories. I don't have any emotional illustrations. But I do have a Bible in my hand. And I've got something in the Word of God I'd like to show you tonight. May we stand together, please, with our Bibles open. Psalm 80, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people?" From these verses, I'll introduce the thought of the message in just a moment. But first, let's bow our heads and our hearts together. I'd like to pray. Father, in Jesus' name we pray for the unction of the Holy Ghost of God, that, Lord, we might faithfully teach and preach the Word of God tonight. I pray the Spirit of God would speak on the inside as He gives me words to preach on the outside. Help me, Lord, not to preach too long tonight. Help me not to preach too short, lest the job not get done. I pray for old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction upon every lost person in the house, that they might come to the Savior. I pray for old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction upon every saint of God that's not right with you. I pray for old-fashioned Holy Ghost motivation upon every saint and servant of God, that we would be molded and shaped to be all that you would have us to be. Lord, I pray that you would bring forth the fruit around these altars that would most glorify you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you and be seated, please. Verse number 4 mentions the subject of prayer. My, the wonderful, wonderful promises of God in the Bible concerning prayer. My dear friend, I ask you this question. Do you happen to know God's phone number? God's phone number is Jeremiah 33:3. He said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Almost everybody in the house knows the revival verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves," and so forth. That's verse number 14. But do you happen to know what verse number 15 says? The very next verse? The very next verse says, "Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." Our Heavenly Father is just looking. Our Heavenly Father is just listening for His children that will cry unto Him. Right here in Psalm 81, in verse number 10, I believe it can be applied to prayer. "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Jesus said to the disciples in John 16 and verse number 24, he said, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that ye may receive, that your joy may be full. Ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of prayer is that we might receive that which we ask for. In Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 32, the Bible talks about he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for his all. How shall he not all with him also freely give us all things? Since God the Father has already given us his son. My dear friend, anything that you and I would ask of him in prayer is already of far less value than when God has already done for us. And since God was willing to give us his own son, he will also with him freely give us all things. And so, my friend, there's some wonderful, wonderful promises of God in the Bible concerning prayer. He said in 1 John 5, verse number 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hear us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we have the petitions that we desired of him. Verse number 4 suggests the subject of prayer and reminds us of the wonderful promises of God in the Bible concerning prayer. But wait a minute. In verse number 4, not only does it mention the subject of prayer, but verse number 4 suggests unto us a real problem. Look at verse number 4 again. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of the heathen, of the wicked? Do you still believe the Bible? The Bible says, how long wilt thou, God, be angry against the prayer of thy people? What in the world could be the matter that God, who delights in his children coming unto him, who invites his children to come unto him, who is looking and listening for his children to cry unto him, how in the world could it be that God Almighty would be angry against the prayer, not of the wicked, not of the heathen, but of thy people? Well, I want to study that with you tonight, of why God could be angry against our prayers as a child of God. Take your Bible and turn to the left and find Psalm 66, if you would please, and notice what the Bible says. Psalm 66 in the Word of God, and we notice just one verse in this passage of Scripture. Psalm 66, verse number 18. I want you to see it with your own eyes. The Bible says in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Would you notice, please, it does not say the Lord cannot hear me, but the Bible says the Lord will not hear me. The Lord will exercise his will. The Lord will make up his mind that if I've got sin in my life and I regard iniquity in my heart and I will not get right with God concerning that sin in my life, though I'm one of his children, though my sins are forgiven, though I stand redeemed, though I'm on my way to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. If you still believe the Bible, say amen. Hey, the Bible says in Proverbs 28 and verse number 9, he that turneth his ear away from the hearing of the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Isaiah put it this way in chapter number 59, verse number 1. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Listen now, that he will not hear. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to announce to you tonight on the authority of God's holy word that a blood-bought, heaven-bound child of God cannot live their life any way they want to and get our prayers answered too. Can't happen. Not according to this Bible. Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, Lord ain't listening to me. I'm his child, yep, going to heaven, yep, but I'm not getting my prayers answered. Why in the world would God be angry against our prayers? Number one, we learn from the Bible, because of sin not dealt with. If I regard iniquity in my heart, there's sin in my life, and I won't confess it for what it is, sin. I won't do business with God. I won't admit it to God. I won't use the Christian's bar of soap, which is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My dear friend, if I won't do my part, God is not obligated to do His part. I make this next statement not in a judgmental way, but in a factual way. I know some children of God that can't get their prayers answered. My dear friend, I want you to understand there's a lot of things that you can do with sin in your life. You can teach a Sunday school class with sin in your life. You can knock on doors with sin in your life. You can even stand and preach a sermon with sin in your life. But let me tell you something you can't do. You can't pray and get your prayers answered. Now with sin in your life. Why would God be angry against our prayers as a child of God? Number one, because of sin not dealt with. Turn to your right and go to Ezekiel chapter number 14. Find the book of Ezekiel, please. Chapter number 14. Ezekiel is the prophet to those that are in Babylonian captivity. Ezekiel chapter number 14. And we know that Canaan land stands for something. Egypt stands for something in the Bible. Babylon stands for the backslider. Because of the rebellion and disobedience of God's people Israel, God removed them out of the land and sent them to Babylon. So Ezekiel is the prophet to the backslider. Look at Ezekiel 14, verse number 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Look what God says. Should I be inquired of at all by them? The answer is obviously no. God says to His prophet, these people have set up idols in their heart. Now, I'm not going to listen to them. They're not going to inquire of me. We'll not take time to turn there. But in Ezekiel chapter number 20, once again, the elders that have set up idols in their heart and in their life come before the prophet Ezekiel. And God said, don't you talk to me about them. They've set up idols in their heart. And so, my dear friend, I want you to know that God could be angry with our prayers because of sin not dealt with. And number two, because of set up idols in our heart. An idol is anything that we put ahead of God, more important than the person of God, more important than the precepts of God, more important than the place of God, which is the house of God. My dear friend, more important than working for God. And people may not bow down to a statue and pray to a statue, but they've made things in their life far more important than the things of God. And that's a definition of an idol. Some of the churches that I pastored in the past, we would have teen rallies on Saturday. And we'd invite churches of like faith and practice to come in. And we'd bring in some high-powered preacher to preach unto them. Brother Landbridge, there was times we brought in Brother John Gibson. We brought in Brother Ken Graham. And we'd have a good time with those teenagers for a while and play some games to get them to know each other. You know, we didn't have a gymnasium or anything. So we did some things respectfully in the church sanctuary there. And I remember one of the things that we used to do with those teenagers is we gave every teenager a pen and a piece of paper. And I'd stand up behind the pulpit and I'd say, all right, young people, I want you to write down in order your 10 most prized possessions. And I'd give them some time, and oh man, you could hear the hum and you could hear the buzz going throughout the congregation, and over 100 teenagers there, maybe 150 or whatever it is. And I'd give them some time, and pretty soon I'd say, all right, time's up. Put up your pen. You don't have to exchange papers. Keep your own paper. In fact, it'd probably be best if nobody else saw your paper. I'd stand up and I'd make some major catastrophe. I'd say, man, a tornado came to town. And when that tornado came to town, it wiped out number 10. Whatever you've got at number 10, the number 10 slot, that tornado came through and just tore up number 10. I said, take your pen and scratch out number 10. Oh, you can hear the young people. Oh, no, not number 10. There goes my mom. There goes my dad, or whatever the case might be. I'd make up another catastrophe and I said, man, man. A fire got out of control and swept through town. And when that fire swept through town, it burned up number 9. Whatever you've got down written down on your paper is your 9th most prized possession. Take your pen and scratch it out. Oh, you can hear him. No, no, there goes my boyfriend. There goes my girlfriend. Whatever the case might be. I'd make up another catastrophe and said, man, there was a flood. And when that flood came through town, he wiped out number 8. And I made up catastrophe after catastrophe after catastrophe until we got the list all whittled down to their number 1 most prized possession. I said, don't let anybody else see your paper. My purpose is not to embarrass you. But I would read Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I said, don't show, raise your hand, but I wonder how many people in this sanctuary had the saving grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ as their number 1 most prized possession in their life. And you'd see many of the young people tuck their head down and quickly fold their paper over and put it away so nobody else could see. You know why? Because Jesus wasn't number 1. And my dear friend, if Jesus is not number 1 in our life, then that means we've got some idols. We've got some things that are more important than him. And here's some men that came before God's men. And before they could say anything, God spoke to Ezekiel and said, these men have set up idols in their heart. I will not listen unto them. Why would God be angry against our prayers? Because of sin not dealt with and because of set up idols in our heart. Go to Matthew chapter number 6 and I'll show you another one. Are we still believing the Bible? We doing all right? Okay. All right. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Let's notice what the Bible says over here. Why in the world would God be angry against the prayer? I could understand of the heathen or the wicked. But why would he be angry against the prayer of his people? Matthew chapter number 6, we pick up the reading in verse number 14. Matthew 6:14, Jesus said, for if, see it's iffy, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. My dear friend, we learn thirdly in the Word of God because of sin's forgiveness not given towards those that have wronged us. And Jesus said if we've got an unforgiving spirit and we don't forgive those that have wronged us, then we ourselves will not be forgiven. And if we ourselves are not forgiven, then we go back to point number 1. We're regarding iniquity in our heart and the Lord will not hear me. Listen, if you've been saved, if you've been alive any length of time whatsoever, people have wronged you. People have sinned against you. And they may or may not come and ask for your forgiveness. That's their problem. That's their business. But I'm here to tell you, long before, my dear friend, long before they ever come and ask for your forgiveness, let me ask you this. Where does the author of forgiveness live in relationship to a child of God? Does he not live inside of us? And with the help of God, there's people that have wronged me and there's people that have wronged you. There's people that have slandered me and have slandered you. There's people that have cheated me and cheated you. There's people that have stolen from me and stolen from you. And with the help of God, the author of forgiveness, Jesus Christ, we had better learn to forgive them whether they ever come and ask for our forgiveness or not. Because if we harbor unforgiveness, then Jesus said, we've got some real problems here. We're going to have a real problem getting forgiveness ourselves. And if we're not getting our sins forgiven from him, then my dear friend, we're back to regarding iniquity in our heart. Amen. Oh yeah, sins forgiveness not given towards those that are wronged. Brother Hart, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. No, I don't. And I don't need to, unless I can help you with something, but I don't need to. I'm sure it was wicked. I'm sure it was devastating. I'm sure it was terrible. But I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's holy word, with the help of God, you better learn to forgive them. Because that unforgiving spirit, my dear friend, is going to hinder you from getting your prayers answered. Sins forgiveness not given towards those that have wronged us. Now look, in order for them to be right with God, they're going to have to come and get right with you. I've got Bible for that. Go to Matthew chapter number 5. Over here in Matthew chapter number 5, look at verse number 23. Might be right across the page in your Bible like it is me. Matthew 5, 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. He said, if your brother's got aught against you, now the reason why your brother's got aught against you is because I've sinned against him. I've sinned against him. It's not a matter of him sinning against me now. That was the last point. Now it's at the point where I've sinned against him. I'm the one in the wrong. Now look, I like to laugh. I like to have a good time. I'd whole lot rather laugh as I would cry. And so sometimes I joke with people. And I say things to people. And I'm joking. But Brother Evans, I can tell there's been some times where I've joked with some people. And I've hurt them. I'm thinking of prayer meeting in Jerseyville, Illinois, every Saturday night. Every Saturday night we had prayer meeting at 6:30. We didn't have coffee and donuts. We didn't have singing. We came together as a church at 6:30 every Saturday night. We took prayer requests. We gathered around the altar, everybody that was there. Man, we had a good group there every Saturday night. And the men would lead us in prayer. This man would pray publicly, and the next man would pray publicly, and the next man would pray publicly, and whenever the last man got done praying publicly, we were done. I'm telling you, the Lord met with us on Saturday night prayer meetings over there so many times on Saturday night. We couldn't wait to get back to church Sunday morning to see what God was going to do. It was wonderful. One particular Saturday night, I'm standing by the back door, and I'm greeting people as they're going out. We're done praying, and we're just laughing and joking. A particular couple comes by, and laughing and joking and carrying on. And so I joke back. And when I did, I could tell that I hurt the lady. I hurt the wife. And she went on her way, and I went on my way. We lived outside of town. We had a house outside of town. And so since we was already in town, we made our weekly trip to Walmart for therapy while we was in town. I mean, sometimes you just got to go Walmart for therapy, man. And so the boys, the Lord has blessed my wife and I with four boys. We have a quartet or a full set of ushers, however we want to go. Hallelujah. And so the all boys were living at home at that time. And so we stopped at Walmart. And I told my wife, she had no idea what was going on. I told my wife, I said, you all go on in the store. Me and Andrew just wait in the car because I'm dying inside. Because I know I've hurt this lady. And I know I'm going to go home Saturday night and I'm going to pray and I'm going to study and I'm going to get my sermon together, my Sunday school lesson together. And I know I'm not right with this sister because I hurt her because of what I said. And I'm trying to justify it in my mind. Well, I was just kidding. Well, you know what? If she wouldn't wear her feelings on her shoulder, then I wouldn't have to knock it off. I was just kidding. Goodness gracious. And so I'm rationalizing all of this in my mind because I'll confess to you, it's a very humbling thing. When you've got to go to another individual that you've wronged and ask for their forgiveness. And pride, my dear friend, will hinder you from doing that. So I'm trying to get my mind off it. Me and Andrew sitting in the car while my wife and boys were in Walmart getting therapy. And so I turn on the radio and I turn on a so-called Christian radio broadcast to try and get my mind off of it. And man, there's some old missionary Baptist preacher, man, he's just a hoe in the corn. I mean, he's just a preaching and he's just going along. And he said, I'll tell you what, it's the wicked sin of pride that keeps an individual from humbling himself and getting right with people that they've wronged. They're like, you're killing me, man. You're killing me. So I knew what I had to do. I got home before I could do any studying and praying. I called her on the phone. I said, look, sis. I said, I sure didn't mean to. I wouldn't hurt you for the world. And I said, and if you wouldn't wear your dumb emotions on your shoulder. No, I didn't. I didn't. I said, look, sis. I said, I hurt you and I didn't mean to. I said, I'm going to get ready and pray some more. And I'm going to get ready and study tonight, into the night, to be ready to feed you and your family and my church family the Word of God. I said, but I hurt you. And I ask you to forgive me. Now, whether she forgives me or not, it's her business and her problem. If she don't forgive me, then she's got an unforgiving spirit like we just talked about a while ago. And then she's all twisted up with the Lord. But I did my part, whether she forgave me or not. And she did. My dear friend, I want you to understand, I had to do that in order to get my prayers heard, and my prayers answered. Why would God be angry against our prayers? Because of sin's forgiveness not given towards those that have wronged us, and because of sin's forgiveness not gotten from those that we have wronged. Why would God be angry against our prayers? Because of sin not dealt with, set up idols in our hearts, sin's forgiveness not given, and sin's forgiveness not gotten. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. There's another one. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Over here in 1 Peter chapter number 3, notice what the Bible says over here. In 1 Peter chapter number 3, it says in verse number 7, 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 7, it says, likewise ye husbands dwell with them. Now the them is the wife. Because in verses 1 through 6, God's been dealing with the wife. And so I'll just leave it for your pastor to answer why it is that God had to take 6 verses to deal with the wife and only 1 verse to deal with the husband. I want to make sure nothing got thrown at me right there. Well, the truth of the matter is, I've got to preach the whole counsel of God to you, and God has given instruction to the wife. If a wife has a husband in the first 6 verses that obeys not the word. Now, if a wife has a husband that obeys not the word, then that's a twofold application. Number one, that husband is lost, because a lost husband isn't going to obey the word. And second of all, that husband is backslid, because a backslidden husband, that's why he's backslid. He's not obeying the word. And in the opening 6 verses, in verse number 1, he says that that husband that obeys not the word can be won without the word, without any preaching whatsoever, by the behavior of the wife in verses 1 through 6, that backslidden or lost husband can be won to the Lord by the behavior of the wife. But in verse number 7, he gets to the husband. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life. Why should us husbands do that? Look what he says. That your prayers be not hindered. Hey, my brother, you're not going to mistreat your wife and get your prayers answered too. How am I doing, ladies? Am I doing all right? Hey, the Bible says dwell with them. Dwell with the wife according to knowledge. So let's just take a little survey tonight. Don't answer out loud. We're supposed to know some things about our wives. So let me ask you, sir, what is your wife's dress size? Well, let me give you a little bit of counsel. If you don't know, don't ask her. Remember what she's wearing tonight, and when she hangs it up in the closet, send her out to Walmart for therapy, and then sneak in there and look in the closet and look on the tag. You'll never remember it, so write it down and stick it in your wallet. Amen? How are you going to slip by from work some night and buy her a brand new pretty outfit? Not because it's her birthday, not because it's your anniversary, but maybe you're just going to buy it for her because it's Tuesday. For no reason. There's some ladies right now that you ought to see their face. They're thinking, I'm not a mind reader, but they're thinking, I've got to wear what he's going to buy me. Buy her a gift certificate. It's safer that way. Amen. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Let me ask you a question. What's her shoe size? She calls you up on the phone at work. I was out today and I saw these shoes. I saw these shoes. Yeah, and I left for work. I saw 42 pair of shoes in the closet too at home. How are you going to surprise her? How are you going to surprise her and sneak by after work and buy those shoes that she described unto you at that store that she talked about? If you don't know her size, dwell with them according to knowledge, that your prayers be not hindered. Let me ask you another question. Where is her favorite place to go out to eat? And if you say McDonald's, I'm going to slug you. Where's her favorite place to go out to eat? How are you going to farm out them 42 kids that God's given you? All right, it may only be 3 or 4, but it seems like 42 sometimes. How are you going to farm out them 42 kids that God gave you and find a babysitter for them and come home from work some night and say, sweetheart, put on something pretty. I'm taking you out tonight. It's not your birthday. It's not your anniversary. I just want to spend some time with you. And I'm taking you out to your favorite place tonight. How am I doing, ladies? Am I doing all right? Am I doing okay? Praise God. I should have said this before the offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Dwell with them according to knowledge, that your prayers be not hindered. Listen, sir. Listen, sir, I'm trying to help you. You're not going to mistreat your wife and get your prayers answered too. Now listen. Listen carefully. The Bible does not specifically say. Did you hear me say that? The Bible does not specifically say. But since it says that with the husband towards the wife, I also wonder if it isn't the same way with the wife towards the husband. Come on, fellas, you know how it is. She's kind of quiet, and you say, what's wrong? She says, nothing. I learned this in counseling, all right? Quit looking at Sister Hart. I learned this in counseling of over 29 years of pastoring Baptist churches. What's wrong? Nothing. Come on now, something's wrong. Well, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. Are you listening to me? The Bible doesn't specifically say, but since it's that way with the husband towards the wife, hey, my dear sister, you're not going to give Big Daddy the cold shoulder and get your prayers answered too. Why would God be angry against the prayer of His people? Because of sin not dealt with, because of set up idols in our heart, because of sin's forgiveness not given towards those that have wronged us, because of sin's forgiveness not gotten from those that we have wronged, because of strife between a husband and wife. What about James chapter 4, verse number 3? Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Selfish motive, selfish motive. I've had a lot of ladies in the churches that I've pastored that came to church by herself, and they would raise their hand at prayer request time, pray for my husband that he gets saved, pray for my husband that he gets saved. That sounds like a good prayer request, that their husband gets saved. But let's ask them, why do you want your husband to get saved? Well, if my husband would get saved, then I wouldn't have to come to church by myself. That's not a right motive. Well, if my husband would get saved, that way on Sunday morning he would go out and warm up the car and it'd be nice and warm before we come to church. Well, if my husband would get saved, he would treat me better. If my husband would get saved, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you the Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. That's the proper motive. And sometimes God is angry against our prayers because we're selfish in the motive of the reason why we want answers from our God in prayer. Selfish motive. Let me give you one more. I won't even make you look it up. Proverbs 21:13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Stinginess in giving. Stinginess in giving. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor. Now sometimes Andrew is 30 years old, but his mentality is way less than one-third of his age. And so his mentality is like a young child. So there's times we still have to get on to him. There's times that he acts up, and we have to get on to him every once in a while. And every once in a while when we get on Andrew, he's blind, he can't see. And when we get on Andrew, Andrew just goes like this. Now he can't see us. Now he can't hear us. He stops his ears. And the Bible says, he that stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he's going to cry himself and shall not be heard. So help me down through the years. I've met some Baptist folk that if they could cut a penny in half to pay their tithe, they would. Oh, preacher, what should I do? My tithe comes out to be $53.64. Since it's 64.5 cents, do I round up or do I round down? What do I do? $53.64. Well, if my tithe came out to be $53.64, I'd probably just go ahead and round it up to at least $60, because God blesses giving and it's going to be a win-win situation. The work of God is going to be financed and I'm going to receive the blessings of God. But so help me! I've met some people down through the years that if they could cut a penny in half, they surely would, to give their tithe. Amen. Stinginess in giving. It's amazing what you see on a Baptist platform. It's amazing what you look at out there. I mean, you've always got, now it's not so bad tonight because they're in the back room, but you've always got those young parents, you know, that are slapping the kids and trying to keep them in line and trying to make sure that they behave. And then you've got that old boy that's always sitting back there that's trying to massage his brain through his left nostril. Hallelujah. That booger. Amen. But it's amazing what you see from a Baptist platform. Man, when that offering plate goes around. Oh, it's all they can do to put that envelope in there. I did it. Hey, I'm here to tell you, my dear friends, stinginess in giving will cause us to have our prayers hindered. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Do you know you cannot properly love anybody without giving? Lip service is cheap. I love you. I always get a kick out of these people that always say, when they hang up their cell phone, love ya. There's a difference between saying love ya and I love you. We were south of Nashville, Tennessee, when I pastored over in the panhandle of Florida. We had been up here in the Peoria area preaching a meeting, and so I had mercy on my wife and stopped and got a motel. I didn't drive it straight through 13, 14 hours. And so we stopped and got a motel. So we took our first load into the motel room, Brother Allen, and goodness gracious, we go for 2 weeks and take enough for 2 months. And so I'm going to have to make several trips. So I get back in the elevator, and there's several people in the elevator. It was evident there is a lady on the phone. She's on a business trip. I'm only hearing one end of the conversation. And she's on a business trip, and it's evident that she's talking to her boss on the phone while we're going down. I'm going to get another load. And they're talking back and forth, and she's about ready to get done. She said, okay, great, that sounds good, that sounds real good. And she goes, all right, love you. She goes, oh. She said, that's what I tell my kids right before I hang up on the phone. She just told her boss she loved him, hallelujah. You know why? Because it's just a habit, it's not real. You can't love anybody without giving. For God so loved the world that He. I love the Lord. I love the Lord, preacher. I love the Lord, preacher. I tell you what, I love the Lord, preacher. Let's look at your checkbook and see how much you love the Lord. Aren't you glad I'm not your pastor, man? Aren't you glad you don't have to listen to this all the time? Praise God. Yeah, stinginess and giving. All right, I got to wind this thing down. Why would God be angry against our prayers? Because of sin not dealt with, because of set up idols in our heart, because of sin's forgiveness not given, because of sin's forgiveness not gotten, because of strife between a husband and wife, because of a selfish motive, and because of stinginess in giving. But I'm gonna admit something to you. I don't believe that's the biggest reasons why we're not getting our prayers answered. I don't think that's the biggest reasons why we're not getting our prayers answered. Stinginess in giving is a problem, but I don't think that's the reason why. It's just my opinion. But I'm going to give it to you since I'm preaching. I don't think that's the biggest reason why we ain't getting our prayers answered. Strife between a husband and wife, that's a genuine problem and a biblical hindrance to answered prayer. Sin's forgiveness not given, sin's forgiveness not gotten. That's a problem, but I don't think that's the biggest reason why we're not getting our prayers answered. Set up idols in our heart, we put anything and everything ahead of God. We wouldn't dare bow down before a statue. But we've got things in our life that's more important than God. God's house, God's word, God's work. That's a problem, but I don't think that's the biggest problem. Sin not dealt with in our life. That's a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm convinced that the biggest reason why we're not getting our prayers answered is just because we're not praying. And James says, ye have not because ye ask not. Jesus said, my house. It's going to be different than any and every other house in the community. Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. And God assumes that His people will be a people of prayer. Jesus said, when ye pray, He didn't say if ye pray, because the Savior assumes that his children will be a praying people. My dear friend, I say it again, a child of God cannot live any old way they want to and get their prayers answered. Well, Brother Hart, I just want you to know, Brother Hart, that I know that I'm not right with God, but I prayed and I got it. God answered my prayer. All right? So now I've either got to believe you or I've got to believe the Bible. Did you ever stop and think that you might have a relative that loves you and prays for you, and God heard their prayer and not your prayer because you're not right with God? Did you ever stop and think that you might have a church family that loves you and is praying for you, and God heard their prayer and didn't hear your prayer because he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, I will not hear thee. There's no doubt about it that within this room, and I don't know their names, don't need to, there's some people of God can't pray. Oh, you can get on your knees and you can say words. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you asked God for something and God alone, nobody else, just God and God alone? When was the last time you asked God for something and got it? If we are praying, and we are not receiving answers to our prayers, then there needs to begin a thorough investigation in our life in light of the Word of God to find out why. Sin not dealt with, set up idols in our heart, sin's forgiveness not given or gotten, strife between a husband and wife, selfish motive, stinginess in giving. God help us to be a people that knows what it is to pray and get from God those things that we asked Him for. May we stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Here's these altars tonight, child of God. Invitation time is no strange time to you. Whatever it is that you need to do tonight, our sister's going to come to the piano. I'm going to pray. These altars and these front pews are open. You're here tonight, though I've preached to children of God. You're here tonight and you're not saved. Get my attention or the pastor's attention. But child of God, how's your prayer life? Are you praying? And if you are you getting answers to your prayers? Better check up. Better check it out in light of the Word of God. Father, in Jesus' name I pray that you might search our hearts by the Scriptures and by the Spirit of God. I pray, my Father, that we would get honest with ourselves and we would get honest with you, our Savior. And my Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would put His finger on those areas of our heart and our life that is hindering us from getting our prayers answered. Help Flora Calvary Baptist Church to be a praying and receiving people before you. Oh God, please help us. May everybody in the house mind you. May everybody in the house get honest with themselves and you. Help us, Lord, in this invitation time. Heads are bowed. Eyes